Kurios sozo ego, Lord, save me. That's how it sounds in the ancient Greek. Kurios sozo ego, Lord, rescue me. Lord, save me. Peter, the disciple, who will soon be renamed Rock, shouted out those very words, Kurios sozo ego, shouted out those words after stepping onto the lake to meet Jesus, and then he began sinking like a rock into the water. This frightening and doubt-filled moment will lead Simon Bar-Jonah, that's Peter's birth name, Simon, the son of Jonah, please don't miss the little irony, a son of Jonah, to make an awe-inspiring confession of who Jesus is to him, the Anointed One, over in chapter 16. But I want us to stay here and sink into the moment, sorry for the pun, but sink into the moment with him and ponder the question, do we ever come to God without fear and doubt? Do we ever come to God without fear and doubt? Jesus was out among the crowds, feeding and teaching them, and then after a long day decided to take time to pray on a mountaintop. Jesus sent his disciples ahead, an allusion, I think, to the day soon when he'll send them out. They'll be sent out as apostles, sent out in a boat to sail to the other side of the Lake of Galilee and to sail to the ends of the earth. The disciples don't appear to be too alarmed about a storm stirring up, at least not in the same way that they were alarmed back in the storm story in Matthew chapter 8, where the writer uses the Greek word seismos, which can be translated storm or earthquake or tempest, to describe the raging waters and the tumultuous clouds. But that word isn't used in today's story. It's merely windy, as one might expect on an inland lake. Now, these fisher folk, these disciples, were accustomed to these kinds of weather events. Many of them were fisher folk. The wind isn't the key we're seeking to open the interpretive door. Jesus doesn't actively calm the winds in this story. Instead, he shows up. He shows up in the nick of time, and the wind simply dies down. The wind isn't the key to the interpretive door. So where is the key to the interpretive door? The sea. The sea has to be the key to the interpretive door, of course. The boat is tossing about on the waves. The sea is a very powerful symbol in the scriptures. The sea is a symbol of chaos. But the Sea of Galilee isn't truly a sea. It's a lake, an inland lake, a landlubber's sea. The sea isn't the key to open the interpretive door. Perhaps the key is the vision of Jesus walking on the water and his presence startling his disciples, walking on water. Walking on water isn't the key either. Perhaps the key that they thought Jesus was a ghost, a phantom, walking on the water. That seems reasonable. Is that the key? Jesus claims their fear and calms them with a calm word. Take courage. It's me. Be not afraid. Jesus' calming words. They must be the key that opens the interpretive door. But the story isn't finished. Peter takes center stage by stepping into the scene when he steps on the water. Perhaps Peter's doubt is the key. He wants a bit of proof. Hey, Jesus, if that's you out there, command me to come to you. Now, this stunt may be the best example ever of being careful what you ask for in this life. With wind battering the boat, Jesus calls out to Peter, come to him, because Peter has asked for proof. Will Jesus prove to be worthy of Peter's trust? So Simon Peter goes, walking on water, just as the wind howls boisterously and Peter is once again full of fear. He realizes the reality and he begins slipping down into the water. The rock is going down like a rock. And he cries out, Kurios sozo ego, Lord, save me. Saying nothing in response, Jesus simply reaches for the hand of Peter. for Simon Bar-Jonah and rescues him. Then Jesus speaks, "O you of little trust, why did you doubt?" Jesus and Peter climb aboard the boat, and the wind and the waves calm down immediately without a word. There it is. That has to be the key that opens the interpretive door. But the story still has a bit to go. A worship service breaks out on the boat. It breaks out spontaneously, and in the breaking out of this spontaneous worship service, a creed is born. "It's true," they say, "it's true. You are the Son of God." And there's the key. It's not what you believe in your mind alone. It's what you know in your heart that's true that matters. Take courage. Be not afraid. Be not concerned with being brave. Courage. Courage is the key to open the interpretive door. Courage is the key to trust. The words courage and creed are attached to the veins and arteries that lead to the human heart. Courage in Latin and French is attached to the words for the human heart. The Greek word is tharseo. Tharseo is even more profound. Courage is to be warm-hearted. Courage is living the warm-hearted, heart-warmed life. Heart-warmed Jesus people don't get a pass to avoid life's windy, tumultuous times. They do get Christ, though. Christ. Christ weathers the windy, tumultuous times when you have the heart to trust. Does this theology play well in America in the middle of a pandemic? Does this theology play well in Beirut, Lebanon, after a disastrous explosion? Have you noticed that it's often in the midst of the most tumultuous times that we sense God's presence most clearly, that our desire to know God is with us, is most keenly felt? I'm not suggesting this sensibility should be. I'm not suggesting that God only appears near when we most need God near. There is something, though, about tumultuous, windy, tossing, battering times that clarify priorities and cut through life's distractions to a vision of God, even if it is a ghostly one. Yet, while in a moment of fantastic extremity, it's then that the disciples perceive most clearly who Jesus is. Jesus is God. It's far too easy to overlook God in the peaceful and pleasant portions of life. And it's far too stingy to call out to God when life's careering down a slope and careening off trees and boulders. We spend a fair amount of our time and energy letting life lure us to the conclusion that a stable, safe, and secure life for ourselves and for those we love is reasonable. We're taught, that God desires that we flourish and prosper in a stable life that promotes growth. Our modest successes lure us into forgetting how much a part of our lives God is and desires to be. We confuse safety and stability with abundant life. Either way, we forget that people need God. Then, when life goes off the rail, when tumult strikes, like pandemics, sudden explosions, unexpected deaths, job losses, relationships collapsing, or some horrible mistake we've made, suddenly our need for God becomes painfully clear. The vision of Jesus on the lake doesn't tell us about ourselves. It tells us about God. First, Whether we see the need for God or not, God is there. God is here. God is in the moments of bliss and battering. Second, God gives us the courage, the heart. God gives us the courage and the heart to trust. It's in the story. Jesus calms the disciples and reaches out to grab hold of the son of Jonah. And Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up in people's compassion, in your compassion, in people's support, in your support. When you need it, when I need it, when we need it, when the community needs it, Jesus commands the disciples to cross the lake in a boat, to go ahead of him. He's trusting them to navigate the lake and the conditions. And Jesus commands us. He commands us to go out with the same trust, to navigate the circumstances and the situations that we encounter in life. Remember, in the story, when Jesus assures the disciples, he says, "It's me." Well, the Greek words used there are even plainer than that. Just two Greek words, ego, eimi. Ego, eimi. Those two Greek words mean I am, I am. Jesus invokes the divine name, I am, I am. I am, I'm God, out here, on the tumult, I'm here with you. I am encouraging us in our fears, and God is sending us out ahead in I am's name. I am reaching for you in forgiveness, and God saying, be not afraid, as you go out into the world with hope. God is with you. Be not afraid. I am leading you to walk on the rough waters while trusting that God will grab you in your need. So how do you take that? How do you take that thing called life? With or without God? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.